he's like, all right, and they start snapping, and it's like going really well, and he's like, da 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 do da ba ba do da, put some stank on it, put some stank on it, and he's like, you're recording, right? And then it cuts, and then it's. Welcome to Opinions Like A-holes, everybody, your favorite pop culture podcast where we have opinions and most of them stink. My name is Michael Zampino. With me, as always, is Hilton Price.
Nerve flossing. That is what I'm doing now every day. I do exercises that floss my nerves.
So you're doing the dance, the floss, you're flossing.
I am flossing like the kids do.
And
like,
that
like
is supposed
Gen
to
Alpha.
Help your nerves.
It helps my nerves. No, what it is.
That's cool.
It's not hip. It's not cool. It's not hip. It's the worst.
You use your hips though.
No, I don't.
No.
If I used my hips properly, I wouldn't be in this situation.
Hey-o.
So
wait, is that true?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. This is posture related. This is. I have been sitting and standing and walking weird for 44 years.
Oh, buddy, same.
And for much of that, I've also been carrying a backpack on just my left shoulder, because. All of those things, I'm not a dumb man. I'm not a smart man, but I'm not a dumb man. And I've known that these things would lead to back and or spine and nerve issues at
sure.
a later time. I've always known that. Always sure. known that. And now we're there. We've got this. The train has reached the station.
I'm kind of surprised. Well, I'm not surprised. My body's in much worse shape that I beat you to it.
You did beat me to it. You did. Not only that, you had to deal with surgery.
Yeah.
And recovery.
Major surgery.
Yeah. Like there was a. It was a scary time in your life.
Four discs.
Wow, yeah.
At once.
That's wild.
In my throat.
Yeah. Terrifying.
And you know what? The surgery that I had on my arm, you know, you were talking about how you always had your backpack over the left arm, you know.
Yeah.
When the first 3 years of Eleanor's life, you know, I was stay-at-home dad.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I carried her exclusively in my left arm so that I would have my right arm free to do stuff.
Because you're right-handed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of why I ended up having to have surgery on my arm and my hand.
Yeah.
So early.
So. Maybe so.
Yeah. Hopefully no more surgeries for a while. I don't like it, Hilton. Yeah. I don't like it. It's not fun.
It's not fun and it's scary, you know?
It is scary.
You don't want to deal with that. And likewise, I'm hoping for no surgeries. I'm hoping my physical therapy will keep me in a better place. For those who've just chosen to start the podcast here on episode 305 or 6 or whatever the hell this is.
306.
I'm dealing with a pinched nerve root in my neck and possibly also my shoulder. Mm. So a fun situation. Luckily, the pain is significantly better than it was 2 weeks ago.
That's good.
It was real bad.
It was debilitating.
Yeah, it was.
And it can be, you know. It absolutely changed my everyday behavior for months on end.
Yep. Yeah. I remember that when you were dealing with that, that was a real tough time for you.
And so I definitely empathize with not only how debilitating it is, but how long it can just take you out. You know what I mean? Like weeks on end, you're just like, I can't fucking function.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that you're on the up.
I'm incredibly lucky that I really only struggled for about a week and a half. That is a
Do they
blessing.
Have you doing PT?
They do. That's what I'm just saying. I'm in physical therapy now.
Yeah.
Twice a week when they can.
Sure.
And that's where I'm learning these moves. And the moves are so interesting, Zamp. And I'm gonna show you here while we're talking to the listeners that one of them, you know, I do it standing, and it's as simple as my head is cocked to the right, and my left arm is kind of curled up so that my hand is by my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And all I do is as I lower my hand and eventually extend my fingers and kind of overextend my fingers, I put my head back from far to the right to the more neutral position.
Interesting.
And that act of like
everything
going left,
it's moving
and then back
the...
to the right, I'm really kind of moving the nerve back and forth.
Right, trying to move it back in place.
Now, on one hand, that is kind of cool. And on the other hand, it is nauseating.
Painful?
To think about like the stuff inside you sliding back and forth.
All the goopy
stuff.
Yucky nut stuff inside that's just just mucking around in there.
Well, and the idea of this thing that's like essentially like a string or a cord.
Oh yeah,
being pulled back and forth inside me.
Mm-hmm.
Oof! Wow.
And boy, if it gets pulled the wrong way, it's gonna let you know.
Well, and that's the other thing too is right before they taught me these moves to do this nerve flossing, what they did is they also taught me that Nerves are more like a cord, like the power cord to an electronic item in your home,
right,
than they are a rubber band. They do not want to stretch.
Yeah.
So you tell me that they do not want to stretch. You but tell me you that it's pinched, and then you tell me to slide stretch. It back and forth.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that stretching?
It's stretching the muscles around it, I think.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. It's moving it within the acceptable parameters is really what it is. Mm-hmm. It's not stretching. It's sliding.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to kind of help it get out from under that pinch.
Yeah.
It's a crazy process. It feels very weird.
Right.
But it is leading to me being better overall. So we are 100% grateful for the team over at St. Francis that I'm working with. And glad to be able to chat about it. And also as a reminder to our friends that suffered like you have. Mm. The people that are dealing with that chronic pain, show them that empathy, show them that patience, and when you can help them out, because that shit is scary and sucks.
Yeah, and don't be so quick to be like, well, why don't you just go to the doctor? On account of we live in America, and that shit is expensive.
The doctor is not an option for everybody.
Fucking A, right.
And when you're dealing with something like nerve pain, it may not be an option. It may not help.
Yeah.
When I was at the hospital, the night that this was the worst, I literally thought I was having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And when I'm at the hospital, they injected fentanyl into my bloodstream. That's that hardcore narcotic.
Yeah.
That they're cutting like other powder drugs like coke and meth and, mm-hmm. and crack.
The one that the police claim if they touch it'll make them die. Right,
yeah, what a pussy. What a pussy. But
or it just goes to show that they're faking it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what it is they're liars. They're trying to skew public.
You heard
opinion.
It here, folks.
all cops are bastards? No, but the fentanyl did nothing.
MCAL.
Well,
most cops are liars.
And that's really what it comes down to. It's most cops. Because here's the thing, too, is that fentanyl does have different strengths.
Oh, 100.
You know, it is a man-made drug. And it is made in unregulated situations. So, yeah, 100%. Could a cop have gotten some on him and had a bad, bad reaction? Absolutely. Do I still think this story is a lie? 100%.
Is it possible to have that reaction through skin contact, though?
You know what?
I don't think that that's chemically possible because
I don't know.
Fentanyl
though.
Is not transdermal. It doesn't have a way to break the blood skin barrier and be absorbed by your blood through your skin, I don't think.
So like if you get like those kind of drugs wet, you can ingest them or you can, they call it like boofing.
Right.
Where you put it up your backside.
Yeah. Cause there's a,
but that's like a soft tissue in there.
Yeah, and there's it can absorb, it's porous and can absorb through your bloodstream.
Which isn't the same as skin.
Correct. The skin needs, like when you use lotions and stuff, you'll notice like if you use like cannabis lotions, some will say transdermal and some will not. The ones that are not transdermal are basically topical only and they're not going to break the blood-skin barrier.
Do we not know if that fentanyl is transdermal?
I don't believe so.
Maybe the really strong stuff is.
I don't think the strength would have anything to do with it because there's a certain chemical compound that allows your skin cells that lay like bricks to essentially give space for stuff to.
But what if it got strong enough that it could punch through the bricks like Mario?
Or Kool-Aid Man?
Or Kool-Aid Man, who mm-hmm. killed all of those Jim Jones followers.
So mean.
A lot of people don't know that Jim Jones was the Kool-Aid Man. That's people were so close to making that connection. But
I think the funnier thing is that it was Flavor Aid.
Yeah. Was it? Was it not even Kool-Aid?
I believe that that's true. You can fact check me out there, but I believe I read that at one point that that it was actually Flavor Aid and that
just goes to show how much brand identity gets locked in our minds.
100%. And I think it was like probably the media that was like, well, people don't know Flavor Aid. They know Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just say Kool-Aid.
But
and then drinking the Kool-Aid became part of the lexicon.
Yeah, exactly. It's not drinking the Flavor Aid.
Nope.
No one's drinking the Flavor Aid.
No. Well, us poors were.
We're lucky.
I had that Flavor Aid, baby.
Honestly, after the Jim Jones, Flavor Aid's lucky it stayed in business.
Although I don't know that Flavor Aid and Kool-Aid were priced much differently.
I can't imagine they were. It's the difference of like 55 or 44 cents per bag.
I think those things are like 10 cents.
Oh, are they that cheap?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like the individual bags of Kool-Aid?
That's ramen prices.
I mean, it's essentially just flavor Coke.
Yeah, just water and flavor, right?
Yeah. You got to add your own sugar.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it didn't have the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Man, how's the Kool-Aid without the sugar? Is it bad?
Oh, it's terrible. Have you ever done it?
No, I've never really drank much Kool-Aid.
As a kid, I tried it without sugar.
When I was a kid, we did soda in the house.
Did you?
We didn't do the Kool-Aid. So, which A is why I'm not very healthy. And B, I didn't get to enjoy any Kool-Aid.
To be fair, soda and Kool-Aid, the sugar content's pretty similar.
Is it? Okay.
Big difference, probably the carbonation.
Oh, okay. So really, I'm just a
sugar
regular
content's
kid.
Pretty fucking high both ways.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just
a kid being a kid.
Just a kid being a kid. Yeah, mm-hmm. Dig it.
Just ruining our teeth and our guts.
Yeah, and I did. I did ruin my teeth. I got one of them hurting now because
oh, man. I have several missing because of it.
I got a couple missing, too.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Look at us. We're Oklahomies for sure.
A poor opinions like a-holes here for you guys.
Listen, subscribe to something that gives us money so that we can fix our teeth.
Just send us money.
Give us teeth money.
Just a Venmo link to OLA Ministries, OLA Podcast.
In the memo, write teeth.
Yeah. Teeth.
Sorry about your toofs.
Yeah. Toof. Watch out
tooth
for that,
dollars.
Watch out for that tooth blood.
Oh, yeah, yay.
Ryan, where are you at?
We had a trifecta of trailers today.
They were good.
Well,
two of them were good.
One was
interesting.
Didn't know it was going to be all actually French.
Didn't know it was going to be a monster movie.
No, definitely didn't know. Well, and not even a monster movie. It's just French Jaws.
It's just the Meg in French.
It's not even the Meg. They're like, this is just a regular ass great white shark.
Is it?
They're like, we know you just had two Megalodon movies. But what if we went back to just a regular great white shark?
Just a regular shark fucking people up.
And we very much do the Jaws parallel of somebody being like, hey, we need to get everybody out of here. And then somebody being like, but we're having a celebration.
Yep. Yeah. But this is a fun day at the beach.
Yeah.
But we got to go. But fun.
And then everyone dies by shark.
There were some scenes where
this is called Under Paris, by the way. It's coming out on Netflix.
Yeah, coming out on Netflix first week in June. All French cast, a subtitled movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you can't watch it while you're playing the coloring game on your phone.
Yes, no, you can't. Yeah, there will be no playing Switch.
No color by number while you're...
Yeah, no paint by numbers while you're doing this. You got to read. And, well, I mean, maybe you don't.
I was just about to say, you know, I bet you could watch this movie with the subtitles off.
And follow it just
and
fine.
Be just yeah. fine.
Yeah, because it quickly hit all the major beats. Like you talk
oh,
about,
yeah.
This is a celebration. We're not going to cancel. Mm-hmm. People are going to die. Cue 400 people swimming away in a panic.
Yeah, and basically, like, what they're using to make it unique is just the geography of Paris.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? They're like, well, what if it was Jaws, but in Paris?
Yeah, exactly.
And it was all the tunnels
happening
and stuff.
In the Seine River, is mm-hmm. what it's called, yeah.
I believe that's how it's pronounced, yeah. Right? Seine?
Seine, I think. They said it in the movie, but I was so confused. Yes. That was me the entire trailer. I was
je ne sais quoi.
I do not know what they are saying.
But that's solid.
I get the point. The monster is coming to eat us all.
Sharks are monsters. That's right.
I felt like there was a real attention paid to showing a lot of people swimming away in a panic.
Mm-hmm.
There were some scenes that were almost like AI levels of people.
And the idea of human beings sort of bottlenecking into like a smaller tunnel, you know, where like a bunch of people are trying to get away, but there's only room for so many.
Yep, yeah. Gonna need a bigger hole.
Ha! That's good. Oh, French Jaws, you suck. and then every movie, you know what I just realized?
What'd you realize?
All three movies have a parallel.
Oh, wow.
France.
Oh, wow. Even the third one?
Folie à deux.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you, buddy.
This is the Frenchest episode ever.
This is the Frenchest episode ever.
Yeah. And Folie à Deux, of course, the sequel to Joker, starring Joaquin Phoenix.
That looks so good.
Bringing on Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. And yeah, you know, and Joker I never saw.
You haven't?
No.
Do it. I just rewatched it, and upon a second watch, like, I think I liked it even more.
What kept me from the, I don't love the idea of, you know, I never loved the idea of like trying to sympathize the Joker, first off.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't really Batman's Joker from the comics. This is a different character.
Yeah.
With a similar or reusing the identity, whatever. So once I even got over that, what I still kind of hesitated about was that I get the falling down storiness of it all. The elements of our society have broken this man down to the point of where he has gone beyond the pale, gone beyond what is expected of normal people. I get that. I don't know if I want to see that.
Mm.
I don't know if I need to see this weak, ineffectual man being bullied on the subway by young punks, you know, or scenes like that. So that's kind of what's kept me from watching it since getting over any, oh, they're sympathizing the Joker-ness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's still like, I don't know if I care. Like, or I care, but I don't know if I need to see that. I don't know if
the
I
way
want
the
those
movie's
images
made,
in my brain.
The way the movie's made to me, it feels a little bit less like, it feels a little bit less like sympathizing the Joker.
Yeah.
Or the situation, and more like, sort of a scathing indictment of every possible system failing someone in a mental health crisis, and how that coupled with the sort of falling down aspect of a man at the end of his rope, it's sort of like, what does it create when the system continually fails someone that's that close to the edge?
You know, that is also very interesting and an important tale to tell, an important question to raise, which is the role of the arts of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
It does not make me more interested, you know?
Maybe not.
You know, and I think that speaks more to me.
Sure.
Than the movie. The movie itself is raising interesting, important questions.
Well, and I think maybe attempt to step away from the crux of that story and look at it as how uniquely can that story be told?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's why the movie's good.
There you go.
That's why you should watch it.
That's a really good point. And I'll tell you, looking at the sequel trailer that we watched today, really leaning into that uniqueness.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there were so many scenes in that trailer that just looked beautiful.
That's the thing is, yeah, there's a lot of it. It's intensely like dark, but very beautiful.
Yeah, for sure. Very beautiful. And Todd Phillips, the director, really presenting it in a captivating way.
Right.
Friend of the show, Jacob, what the hell's his last name?
Hatfield,
of course. Jacob Hatfield. He's a filmmaker, cinematographer, really understands film, like few others do. And he shared a shot of that final shot of Joker, in behind the glass with the smile drawn on the glass. And Jacob wrote on that caption that it was like one of the most powerful, or that it made his cinematographer heart swell with pride or something like that. Or I think it made him come. I don't know. whatever. Jacob's hilarious. But the picture itself, I kind of looked at it, I was like, really? I was like, that doesn't strike me as a big deal. But then to see it in the trailer and the way it played out, that was a really great scene.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I'm not, don't romanticize Harley and the Joker, especially maybe in the movie. I don't know. We haven't seen it, obviously, but not in comics, not in the cartoons. Harley Joker is a fucking trauma story from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody need to be like that. You know, I get it. Broken people. You're looking for something to identify with. I've been there myself, but that ain't it. Go to therapy.
Well, and again, I think this goes.
But that being said, this scene of Harley trying to empathize with Joker as he's behind bars, asking to see the real him, talking about how the Joker, not Arthur Fleck, is who he truly is, there's a lot of power there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of powerful storytelling there. So
yeah.
I even if this doesn't end up getting me into the theaters, this seems like it's going to be a good movie.
Yeah, and Joker's on Max. So
first one is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can catch up now.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's sort of like what I say about my fascination with true crime. And I think a lot of these types of stories is, I think that, yes, there is a big chunk of the people who do sort of, you know, romanticize serial killers and whatever, and sort of you know almost look up to them or whatever. And my fascination is much more of like a story like this telling of like, you know, how could we have possibly saved the Joker from being the Joker? And you know, yeah. And this is sort of the telling of like, you know, because like I said, every serial killer, every terrible person who's ever lived at one point was a completely innocent child.
Yeah, you know, that's such a great point.
And something happens.
Yep.
And it's about recognizing where that happens, how it happens, what are those causes, what are the things we can do to prevent them, and that's how we stop Ted Bundy's and those people from existing in the future.
Amen.
So that's why I'm so interested in those stories and those yeah. books and stuff is, you know, whether you like it or not, there was a point in Ted Bundy's life where he was a sympathetic character because he was an innocent child.
Yeah.
Everybody comes from pureness and innocence.
It's true.
And it's about where do those roads diverge and how can we, society,
I feel like we don't learn enough and apply that learned knowledge enough. And oftentimes these stories just become tent poles for broken individuals to celebrate their brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see less of that, but you're right that all of that does obfuscate this very real learned understanding that could be applied.
Right.
You know, and as we, you know, we've done so much better in recent years about the conversation around mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very much a possible bridge to action to treat ourselves better when it comes to mental health. I fear that it won't be used the right way, but I
well, and to treat others, like how to empathize and approach people that are going through mental health crises.
Yeah.
And how we can better be, you know, a society that is less likely to just, Oh, look at that freak and walk by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Every single day it gets harder and harder to, you know, just walk by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and especially in communities like ours where we are seeing the mental health crisis grow untethered each year. The homeless population in Tulsa, Oklahoma is out of control.
Absolutely.
And that has to mean that it's out of control everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are hardly a major city in this world. We are hardly a place of, you know, mass economic happenings.
Oh, sure.
So to think that there's so many people are falling through the cracks in our little tiny fucking hamlet.
Yep.
You know, we see them everywhere now.
Yep.
And
it's by design.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Our entire economic system is set up to funnel up and leave a lot of people in the lurch.
And constantly push us to be a part of it for fear of what happens.
Oh,
if
and
we
co-sign
don't.
It. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And say, oh no, capitalism is the best way.
Yeah.
No, it's fucking not.
Yeah. Every one of those people you see on the street is a on purpose lesson to you to don't you stop capitalisming.
Right.
You know, keep working that job, keep spending that money. Keep driving that car.
Work 60 hours this week.
Because if you don't, you might be like them.
That's right.
Yeah. I really believe that government has an active interest in not solving the homeless crisis because of how much it drives the regular Joe and Jane to keep doing their
part. The status quo.
Yeah.
Been saying that shit.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
It sure is. Boy, we sure do get it like, we sure get deep when there's no guests.
I know. We just, yeah. It's gone from pain to fucking the economic crisis to mental health. Yeah, it's...
Let's get back to French Jaws.
Thank God there were sharks.
I know, right?
Thank God there were sharks. That's all I can say.
And Ben Franklin?
Yeah. Dude, how did that end up being the best trailer?
I mean, I don't know if it was... I liked the Joker trailer more in my... that one, I'm a
it's
lot
It's a better
more,
trailer.
But I'm a lot more excited for that.
I am interested in this.
I'm super interested in this, and I will say it looked great, but for me, the Joker trailer was the better one. How am I so intrigued by a Michael Douglas's Ben Franklin series?
And I got to admit, he does not look like he's giving 110% here.
Nope.
He is very much just like, it was like they were just like, okay, Michael, just be snarky with everything you say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
He's like, should I do an accent at all? And they were like, nope.
Nope, just be yourself.
Just Michael Douglas.
Yeah. Well, you're an American. Show us Ben Franklin. it's all you need.
But how long was Ben Franklin an American?
That's true. Yeah, that's where was he? Was he born in America?
I don't know.
Wiki him up for us.
All right,
let's
look it up. Let's get the research department on it.
But yeah, so it's on Apple TV, and it's a new series, multi-episodic series with Michael Douglas playing the titular inventor, statesman. Liar.
I sit corrected.
Oh, he's born in America?
Born January 17, 1706.
1706 in?
Milk Street, Boston.
Milk Street, Boston. On Milk Street in Boston.
It says Milk Street, Boston.
Interesting. I don't know. I lived in Boston. I don't remember anything called Milk Street unless it is specifically referring
Milk
to Street a street.
Milk Street is a street in Boston.
Okay. All right. Well, good. How about that?
It is a street in the financial district of Boston.
Okay. I know where the financial district
is. So he was born into that money, baby.
Oh, yeah. 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 No doubt. They all were, man. That's what life was back then, which is we need to remember that because it's happening more than we realize now is that back in the day, it was just the folks with the money were in charge, you know, because the money. And now it's the same way. You know, we act like there's a structure of government so that it can't be that simple.
Yeah.
But it's so very much still that way. It's just done in different, the processes are different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Michael Douglas looks fun in this movie.
Well, this looks like it's a specific time, like it's telling very much of like specifically the journey that Ben Franklin took to try and help get France on our side
during the Revolutionary War. Exactly. So this is pre-sovereignty,
right?
Of U.S. sovereignty.
But also, I'm like, wasn't Thomas Jefferson pretty big on that whole thing too?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So where's old Tommy Boy?
That was a whole big one of the big elements in Hamilton, wasn't it? That he had been over
Thomas
in Paris.
Thomas Jefferson's coming home.
That's why he came home. Was after talking to the French about getting. But here's the thing: is Ben Franklin even in Hamilton?
No,
he's not in it at all.
No,
just pretend he don't exist.
Yeah.
So now what I'm really curious about is
what's
Alexander Hamilton.
Ben?
In Franklin.
Mm.
That's fascinating. We're going to go to the IMDb and look that up.
Why did Lin-Manuel leave Ben Franklin out of Hamilton?
Yeah.
Is he mad at Franklin?
Does he hate Ben Franklin?
Should we all hate Ben Franklin?
Exactly.
I'm fine with it.
Okay, so what's really interesting here is how far down this cast list Michael Douglas's name even shows up.
Oh, no.
Like, he is surprisingly low on this cast list. And I do not see Thomas Jefferson at all.
Nope. Nope. Monsieur Briand. Marquis de Lafayette. You have him.
Oh, Lafayette.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't Lafayette and Jefferson played by the same guy?
Wait a minute. Look at this.
Looking at this.
8 episodes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Michael Douglas is apparently only in 3 episodes.
This isn't about Benjamin Franklin.
It's about Temple Franklin.
Oh, shit. It's a fucking bait and switch.
They got us with the bait and switch.
Because Franklin's son is in like 3 scenes in that trailer. And Franklin is in, Ben, because they're both Franklins. Ben is in every fucking scene.
Yeah. William Temple Franklin.
Interesting. That is very interesting. I want to watch this now just to see what the fuck this is.
Wait, who is Temple Franklin?
Oh, he's like Rebel Wilson.
Oh, so it's Ben's grandson.
Oh, it's his grandson? Okay.
I think.
Okay. He was an American diplomat and a real estate speculator. So that's who you should take to France to get someone involved in your war. He's known for his involvement with the American diplomatic mission in France during the American Revolutionary War. Beginning at the age of 16, he served as secretary to his grandfather, Benjamin Franklin, who negotiated and agreed to the Franco-American alliance.
Ah, which is why we have SpaghettiOs.
Yes, because of the Franco-American.
Franco-American.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people don't realize that...
The SpaghettiOs are that old?
Well, no, that they're better with the meatballs.
Oh, they are.
They're so much better with the meatballs.
They're really good with the meatballs.
Fuck me, I may be buying those for lunch today. Wow.
We having little kids' lunch.
Yeah, little what do they call it? Kid dinner instead of girl dinner.
All right.
You remember you know about the girl dinner trend?
I think
it was girl dinner where they like for girls' dinner, like a bag of grapes and some crackers.
Ah.
You know, might be girl dinner.
Bowl of cereal.
It's when they just kind of snack or nosh or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do that, man. I'm a meal guy. I don't do the snacky dinner.
Every once in a while, I'll have a bowl of cereal for dinner.
Okay. That still feels like a meal, though, to me, because that's a breakfast meal.
Yeah?
I'm talking about, like, just crackers and dip.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, or some cheese and fruit.
No, my fat ass needs more than that.
Yeah, that's not even a fat ass thing. I think it's like a creature of habit
satiation
thing.
Yeah, I don't feel satiated.
I don't feel like it's a meal unless there's like fork and knife involved.
Yeah, it's a protein.
Yeah, yeah. There's got to be like something for each of the major categories.
Give me some protein. Give me some poutine.
I still make dinner for mom sometimes.
Vladimir Putin.
I don't like what Putin has done to Canada or Ukraine.
Has anybody made a Vladimir Putin bit yet?
We need a Photoshop where it's just a bowl of curds and whey.
Is that what Putin is?
I don't know. It's curd. I know it's cheese curds.
Oh,
okay. I think curds and whey is different. I think it's talking about like oatmeal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's more like
got my shit mixed up. I don't give a fuck.
The oatmeal family.
Here's the deal, man. If the guest doesn't show, I just go off the rails. That's my new plan.
Fine with it.
Yeah. So I don't know what the hell to tell y'all about Franklin. I don't know. Michael Douglas looked good. He might only be in three episodes. All he's doing is being snarky.
Poutine is the French fries, cheese curds, and brown gravy.
Oh, and gravy too. Yeah, the cheese curds are the big issue though. Mm. Everyone's got fucking French fries. Cheese curds, you got to go special places. Like Wisconsin.
Oh, jinx.
Yeah. Now I owe you a Coke.
Go get it. because I got some.
It's only two of us. So I don't know. I sure hope you like both scenes of showing Temple Franklin.
Three episodes of eight.
Part of me wonders if that's like a misprint. If that's just like inaccurate something.
I mean, that would explain why he's so low on the cast list there.
It would. It's weird, though. I want to know what the fuck's happening there.
I think it's right. I mean, it's out now. Let's watch it right now.
Let's put it on.
Let's start it right now while we're recording. You'll hear the entirety of the series on this episode.
Have you noticed that, like, Apple Plus isn't on all of your app TVs?
Oh, yeah.
That's weird to me.
You know why?
Because I guess they, like, decided later in the game to let people watch their shit.
No, I think it's part of Apple's whole exclusivity monopolization attempt bullshit. That's why they're getting in trouble.
But it's not every my old Roku TV could not get it, but my current Android TV can.
Mm-hmm.
And mom's got
your Android can?
Yeah,
that's surprising.
Yeah, it's a TCL. Because
usually Apple's like, no, Android can't have any of our stuff.
That's what I'm saying,
including a clear picture sent from a friend.
I think it's more like older TVs couldn't run it. Like their app wasn't optimized enough so that older TVs could run it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What?
That's the one app that we have the most problems with when we're trying to watch stuff is Apple TV.
Wow, that's
absolutely every time.
I didn't have any trouble through Ted Lasso or through the first half of Severance, and I just have not gotten back on Severance. I just don't think I care, dude.
Man.
I know. I'm sorry. That's wild. I'm sorry.
I'm so mad at you.
I feel bad. I feel legitimately fucking bad about not liking the dumbass Adam Scott
Don't do
show.
That. Don't do that.
It's too late. It's too late. I'm already there. It's
too
weird.
Too late, baby. Now it's too late. I feel bad about Severance.
I didn't watch it all. I may still finish it. I mean, I'm not like not intrigued about what happened
to licking toads.
Adam Scott's friend from work, I guess, who had the brain thing.
What happened to his work friend?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like where I'm at. Like when you're watching
it's so much more than that.
The show does such a good job when you're watching it of like keeping you intrigued. Like the cinematography, the soundtrack, everything just really is engrossing and engaging and keeps you hooked. I finish an episode and I very much have that urge to just watch another, you know?
Okay.
But I walk away for 10 minutes and I'm like, so what? She woke up on the table? I'll give a fuck.
So don't walk away.
That's it.
That's the trick.
So
you have power through, baby. You don't force yourself. If you don't like it, you don't like it.
I don't know if I like it.
Is.
I'm 5 episodes in. I have no idea if I like it.
It's like, I mean, look, it's what I've had to do with my dislike of the Beatles. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've come to terms with the fact just that
occasionally
I'm going
to
get
store,
shit with at any time I fucking say that I don't like the Beatles.
That's
people
a terrible
are
choice.
Going to respond with what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Exactly. See, yeah. But at the same time, doesn't make me like it anymore.
Well, it should.
See, that's how I feel about Severance.
All right. So here's the deal. I'll finish the season.
Uh-huh.
You buy Rubber Soul.
I've heard all of it.
It's so good.
Some of it is.
Baby, you can drive my car.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's a good song.
Here's my thing. Some of the Beatles is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Mostly George.
Would music have ceased to exist had the Beatles not been a band? No.
No, of course not.
That's
no.
What bugs me.
Yeah. No, that's. Yeah.
And some of their songs are annoying as fuck. Sorry. I'm just saying it.
That's Ringo.
I mean, Hey Jude is like 1 minute of song and 2.5 minutes of the chorus on repeat.
But to be in a crowd of people singing the na 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 chorus of Hey Jude is a wonderful experience. That's,
for that long?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Why the fuck not?
Everything gets old after 60 seconds.
Also, it means that it's long enough. It's exactly the right length because it is long enough that the sing-along part can start. Then Ted and Rebecca can have the conversation about where he needs to be in that moment. Then
that's too long.
He still has time to get back to his son and beard
exactly.
To jump into
and
the chorus.
They're still repeating the same thing.
Nah,
yeah,
over. Nah, 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 nah.
Yeah.
Hey, Jude.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
You got the 45 seconds tops.
Nah.
2.5 minutes.
Nah, nah,
hubris.
Nah, nah, nah.
It's hubris.
It's judris.
It's gibberish.
That's good stuff.
Oh, boy.
And all because Paul forgot that his name was Julian.
And look, like I said, I like Blackbird. I like some Beatles songs.
Great song. Blackbird's
you know?
Song. That Beyonce cover was good, too.
So it's like when I say I hate the Beatles,
you just hate the weird.
I hate what people have given the Beatles.
It's that weird kind of like over importance.
Absolutely.
Cause well, here's the thing though. The Beatles did a lot of things that other artists would have done had the Beatles not done them.
Thank you.
But the Beatles still did them. And in most cases did them first. You know,
I feel like some of that's debatable.
Well, at least
if
first,
you're really going to pull up timelines and release dates and stuff.
That's true. That's true. So then you have a question of
the great Beatles debate of 2024.
Well, it's a question of not only just being first, but also being first in mass popular consumption.
Or being the first with the distribution deal that would allow them to be the first to be heard en masse.
Yeah, sure. But
so,
someone still had to do that.
Right. And I'm just saying, like, that's another reason to not necessarily give them as much credit as they get. Is it's like, you know, some of it was circumstance. Some of it's knowing the right people. Some of it's the right place at the right time. Some of it's good songs. You know what I mean? Some of it's a producer. Some of it's, like we said, distribution deals.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all.
And that's the thing about the music industry. And that's, I think that's why I'm a little jaded to things like that, is because, you know, while I know the Beatles, you know, did what the Beatles did, there was probably 12 bands doing it better that nobody heard.
Yeah,
because they just didn't have
the attention.
They didn't have whatever the Beatles had that got them in the door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the thing, is like, the door is closed to so many more bands that are good than what's really out there and getting shoved down your throat in the radio.
And that's true in stylistic ways before we even get into cultural bigotry, which 100% plays a factor.
So it's, absolutely,
it's a multi-layered thing. It's really an onion of the errors of the industry. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's one of those things that we're still here in 2024, building off of the blocks that were put in place in the 1950s and 60s, which includes the work by those four lucky, privileged idiots from Liverpool.
Liverpool buttholes.
Liverpudlian.
I think that's what they prefer to be called.
That is exactly what it's called.
That is the preferred nomenclature.
Oh, man. Oh, pick it and plug it.
Did we
are. Well, and the reason is we got some good stuff coming up. I am so excited about the next Starlight Comedy Night. We had such a good time last night. Big shout out to Duke Durant, Missy MG, and Kyle Kordsmeyer out of Arkansas. At Fayetteville. It was great to see Kyle again. He is so funny. I'm really glad that him, his wife, and some friends made the drive out to come see us.
Nice.
Found out he's a big soccer fan, too.
Oh, really?
So I got to drop my Ted Lasso knowledge.
Nice.
We talked a little bit about one of the teams that he was watching staying in the Premier League and not getting relegated down to the league below. And I understand that pain. But I believe.
What was his team?
I don't fucking remember. But I do remember seeing Kyle last night, and it was such a pleasure to hang out with him. And, of course, Laura and Duke and Missy all had great sets. I love all those kids so much. Great getting a chat with Duke, too. He's good people. If you get a chance to see Duke Durant on stage, take that opportunity.
A bunch of people at work are super into soccer, and just yesterday they were telling me that I needed to pick a Premier League team.
Yes, Richmond, obviously.
Well, so I said you know, well, what's the most punk rock team? And they started saying a couple things, and one of them said, probably maybe like Everton.
Okay.
And so then I looked it up, and in 2013, this is pretty old now, but in 2013, there was a Bleacher Report article called Every Premier League Team as a Band.
Oh, wow.
And sure enough, I get down to Everton, and who's Everton?
Rancid.
No, it's The Cure. But still... Like, yeah.
Amazing. Huh.
Liverpool is the Red Hot Chili Peppers, so I know I chose right not choosing Liverpool.
Right, yeah, sure.
It said that Arsenal is Coldplay.
Okay, also a good choice that you didn't take them.
So yeah, I guess Everton is my team now, so go Everton.
Go Everton. Actually, that might have been Kyle's team, too. The next Starlight Comedy Night is coming up May 10th, Friday, May 10th. We have the second Friday of every month. And we are so excited to be welcoming from Arkansas, Stetson Banks, to be headlining that show. We love Stetson. We are bringing a friend as well. Claire Scott will be joining him. And then we have our own Trevor Carrion coming to the show. Super. Love all these kids. Can't wait to meet Claire. I don't know her yet, but I've seen her perform, and she is very, very funny. Stetson, of course, is a great talent out of Arkansas. We are thrilled to have him back. And then Trevor, you know Trevor, he is freaking everywhere. Trevor has been blowing up lately. That boy has got excellent slot after excellent slot after excellent slot, jumping back and forth between the Bricktown Comedy Club, the Looney Bin Comedy Club, and his own shows like out in Joplin with Chaos Comedy, his new one down in Muskogee, is it? He's doing the Muskogee at the Roxy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So really, shout out to our buddy Trevor for all he's doing out there. And then, of course, the People, Person, Paper podcast. We have got seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 up and running, and most of season 6, and we are still working our way through episodes of season 6. We've got so much more to bring to you. So I hope you will come out and check out our podcast on the OLA Ministries Network. I know Podcasting to Perfection has got new episodes up as well as they get into Starship Troopers. They're having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, Starship Troopers is it's a fun one.
Yeah, you did an episode with
them. I did
them.
The second one. And I got to say, I wish I'd seen the first one.
Yeah, it sounds like the second one wasn't good.
Oh, I don't know that I've ever seen a larger dip between movies one and two in a franchise.
Wow.
Where I said that, like, it was impressive that they managed to make the second film in their series feel like the fifth. Like, it's that's exactly how I described it. And it's about perfect because it's like, it feels like it should be the fifth or sixth straight to DVD. Like, and it's the second movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep.
Man, oh man.
Yep, they took a hard left on the from the first movie. Damn.
I don't know if I have a pick right now. Comic book fans, there's a Thundercats comic book that just started. It's been a weird tweak on the old stories. I'm not like a huge Thundercats guy. I don't know much about the old show. I watched it as a kid, but I grabbed the first two issues, and it's been fun. So if you want to dip into a world that you may not know a lot about, check that out. Other random comic book stuff, I will give a shout out to Marvel. They've currently got the Alien and Predator licenses, and they're doing mm-hmm. comics on both of those that have been fun. So if you're looking for new stories on some existing franchises that are a little bit, you know, outside what you normally see, check it out. There's some good stuff out there.
Nice.
What about you? What do you got coming up?
Let's see. May 3rd, Friday, mm-hmm. May 3rd. You can come see me at the Vanguard. And fingers crossed, you can come see me in August at Blue Whale Comedy Festival. Just threw my old hat in the ring for that old shindig.
That's a great little festival. We love our friends over there. Last night they had a show at Lowdown with Shauna Blake.
Yeah.
And Bradley McPherson. And who else was on that? I feel like there's another good name that we're friendly with. But great lineup out there, including some other folks like Alex Sanchez, who mm-hmm. I believe is out of Oklahoma City.
Yeah, he is.
Very funny guy. So great stuff out there. So love Lowdown. Love all the people doing that. Love Blue Whale. And not just because I really hope you will accept me once I submit.
Look at you.
But we love them anyway just because they're bringing great
comedy. Hey, listen,
all
Brown knows too.
Well, it's one of those things like, I mean, I've done it like five or six times now.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite that many. I tend to do it every other year. And I kind of feel like there's always a chance that I won't get chosen, and I'm okay with that, and yeah. I'm not at the same time.
You know? So, of course, it's being chosen for something.
Right? So, I don't know.
We want to get picked, even if we're playing basketball and we know we suck.
Yeah.
Well, you want to get picked.
Well, and it's one of those things, like, I still don't always make the cut. Like, I sometimes apply mm-hmm. for festivals and don't get chosen, but other times I do. I know I'm talented. I know I'm funny, but it doesn't mean I'm right for everything.
Exactly. That's just goes to show how subjective comedy is.
Really is. Really, mm-hmm. really is.
Because you never know what kind of comedy the people making the selections are into.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Well, and just how your set that you submit goes at that time.
Right.
How it compares to every other submission.
True that, too.
You know?
True that, too.
So, anyway. But good luck to you, sir. Hope you get
it. Oh, thank you. Same to you, my friend.
Thank you.
May the odds ever be in your favor.
I got to watch that movie, too.
Let's see. That's it for plugs right now. But let's see. Picks. I know I watched some stuff this week, and I'm just kind of drawing a blank right now because I didn't write it down.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't have like a documentary about some guy that killed four people in Michigan in the 70s or something.
You know, I did just finish an old true crime book.
Oh, yeah.
By Jack Olson called Son.
Okay.
And it's just about a serial rapist named Fred Coe.
Oh, wow. That sounds awful.
And his mother, who, after he was convicted of serial rape, attempted to take out a hit on the prosecutor and judge
in
the case. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that sounds fun.
It's a very good book. It's very long.
Yeah.
And I just started another very long book about Willie Picton, one of Canada's most notorious serial killers. He had a pig farm.
They read books about people that don't kill others. I don't know if you know that.
I do know that. And
okay,
I actually have listened to several.
Okay, cool.
Son, he didn't kill anybody.
Oh, yeah, good point. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, he killed people's lives, but, you know, that's different.
That's different.
The other book that I'm glad my mom died.
Oh,
she
yeah.
didn't kill her mom.
That's true.
She didn't kill anybody.
I still
She's
feel
actually
like-
a very sympathetic character, and I think she's wonderful.
God,
not the mom.
God killed somebody in that, though.
Ooh, shots fired, God.
Yeah.
You murdering ass.
Take that, God.
That's a lot of murder. And then music. I'll go ahead and plug the album that I was listening to when you came in today.
What was that?
Good Morning by Alkaline Trio. It's a good one. It's a classic album. It's got pretty much all of my favorite songs from them are on that album.
Really?
Oh, man. You got This Could Be Love. You've got 100 Stories. You got Every Thug Needs a Lady. Some good tracks on that album. Continental, it's on there.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, that's an older one, though, too, right?
It is an older one. Yeah, it's one of their first, like, three or four albums, I believe.
Okay.
Super good stuff, man. Alkaline Trio's always had a very unique style in that they're kind of a pop punk band, yeah. but they're very dark in their lyrics, and sometimes their, like, vocal melodies have a certain darkness to them. I don't know how to describe it. It's very interesting. The way they write their melodies is very unique, and I dig it a lot. Yeah. And I kind of slept on them for years back in the day. And then a good friend of the show, Hammy Snacks, is the one that really got me to give it a whirl and, like, really, you know, sit down and listen to it and started to love it.
All right.
So yeah, listen to that album. Good Morning. MOU.
Oh,
R.
Oh, yep. There's that darkness.
Right? Exactly.
Oh, man.
Hilton.
You know, I'm glad we did this.
Me too.
It was a good time. Good hangout.
Let's do it again.
Next week?
Sure.
Take it from me. I love you.